That's hashtag authenticity. Okay. Let me start you guys off with this definition. I want to give you a definition that I'm going to be kind of leaping from in this journey of authenticity. Authentic is this. It's not false or copied. Not false or copied. Genuine. Real. Real. And that word real really jumps out to me. Because I believe that we serve a real God. Amen. We serve a real God that shows up and meets us in real places. And what I believe God wants to do for us today is paint some new pictures, paint some pictures of the reality of himself. And that's going to be the foundation that we leap from, this place of who is God, the reality of God, how huge our God is. Amen. How big he is. And here's what's crazy. We really don't discover how big God is until we go when he says go. Until we go when he says go. Or when we do something that we're not comfortable with doing. When we step out of our comfort zone and all of a sudden I'm not used to being in this place. I don't know how I'm going to respond. I don't know what to expect. That's the moment that I found where God meets us and shows us how real he is, how genuine he is, how authentic he is. And so I want to show you guys, I've been looking at this guy. God has placed Moses on my heart for like the past few months. And I've just been devouring his life. I've been looking at Moses. I've been checking out Moses's life. And raise your hand if you're familiar with Moses. Y'all know Moses a little bit? Okay, y'all know a little bit about Moses. Y'all know a little bit about Moses. So we're going to talk about this dude named Moses. And we're going to talk about probably a story that you guys are really familiar with. And it's a moment where God really met Moses. What's the first moment where God met Moses that you think of? What's that? The burning bush. Look at y'all. VBS has blessed your life. VBS has blessed your life. Yes, the burning bush. Moses in the burning, well, he ain't in the burning bush, but Moses, the burning bush and Moses. And so turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Hallelujah, Jesus. Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 2. And we're going to look at how God meets us. Exodus 3, 2, it says this, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him. In a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. And I want to pause right there. And I want to start right there, because this shows us a real place where God meets us and reveals himself to us. And it's right here in Moses, because a burning bush is something that's not uncommon in the desert right here. It's something that happens often. So it's not uncommon for the bush to be burning. But what is uncommon is that the bush was not being consumed by the fire. So it's in this place where Moses takes a step and begins to step in curiosity to see why isn't this fire consuming this bush? And it's in stepping towards the bush out of curiosity that God calls Moses' name out. And what I want to just tell somebody is that God meets you. You may not understand what's going on. You may not understand why something is going on. You may be sitting in church and you don't understand where is God? What's God doing? And can I just tell you, when you see something burning, like as you take a step towards God, the Bible says that as we step towards God, he takes steps towards us. And so I just simply want to begin to encourage everyone in this room in taking one step towards God. in just beginning and just taking this step, wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, just taking this step towards God. Because as we, and you may not understand it, but as we step towards Him, He calls our name and He meets us. As you take a step out of your own understanding, God meets us. See, Moses didn't understand what was going on, so he took a step. And as soon as he took a step, God said, Moses. He called his name. Somebody in here needs to know God knows your name right where you are. He knows your name right where you are, and He is ready and willing to meet you right where you are. Jump to verse 7 in Exodus chapter 3. And this is the part where I've been getting excited about this portion of Moses' life, because God comes to Moses and just tells Moses, like, dude, I've heard everything that's been going on. I've heard all of the cries of the people. Let me just read it to you. He says, then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, all of the ites and the sites now live. And he says, look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now, most of you might know Moses was a murderer. Yeah, you know, he killed somebody. So here's what's crazy. Moses killed somebody and he ran to the desert to escape what he was going through there. He ran to the desert. Moses has, like, this is 40 years ago. So at the age of 40, Moses kills somebody. He runs to the desert, lives in the desert for 40 more years. God meets Moses in the bush at the age of 80. So Moses is 80 years old. He's staring at this bush. This bush is talking to him, saying, look, dog, I've heard so many things. He doesn't say look, dog, but he says, I've heard the cries of my people. I've heard the hard places that they're in. I've heard their chains. I've heard their cries. I hear them, and I want you to know that I'm going to respond. Can you imagine the excitement that Moses probably felt in that moment? Right? Don't you get excited when you know God responded, when you see the answer to your prayers? You get excited about that. You get hyped, like, oh, thank you, Jesus. God, oh, hallelujah, you're going to respond. You're going to do your thing, God. And you're like, I'm blessed that you would show up in a bush to tell me all that. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Let's go. Go ahead, burning bush. Do your thing. That's Moses. But then here's where the challenge comes. Because God says in the burning bush to Moses in Exodus 3:10, he says, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. Do me a quick favor, family. Look at the person next to you or around you and just say this. We all got to face Pharaoh. We all got to face Pharaoh. We all got to face Pharaoh. And this is what God is telling Moses. God is telling Moses, here's what's about to go down. I have heard my people's cry. I've heard their hard places. Moses, yes, I'm so happy. That blesses my life. Yes, let's do this. Can I get back to my sheep? And God's like, nah, I'm sending you. He points the finger right back at Moses and said, I'm sending you. Now you have to go face Pharaoh. Now you may be like, what's Pharaoh? Now let me kind of define Pharaoh. Because as Moses goes to face Pharaoh, as Moses goes to face this challenge that is Pharaoh, God meets him in a real way. Every step of the way, Moses goes through some hard stuff. Moses goes through some real stuff. Moses goes through some stuff where it's like, maybe I may have left the faith, some of the things that, because he went through so much. It's crazy. But God is faithful. And so let me tell you what Pharaoh looks like. Because it's not we're going to Egypt and we're facing this Pharaoh dude, but we all got a little bit of Pharaoh in us. And I know you're like, Pastor Damien, look, there is, I am a Christian brother and sister. There is no Pharaoh in me. Jesus is Lord. I get it. He is. And your faith is booyah bomb. But we all got a little Pharaoh in us. And let me tell you what Pharaoh represents, because Pharaoh represents rebellion. Anybody ever rebelled? Anybody? Can we keep it? Some of y'all looking at him like, you are crazy. What about that time when you was like, you know, you probably should have walked up to that person in the Target because the Lord put it on your heart to say a word and you talked yourself out of it because you was like, that's the devil. The devil wouldn't have me tell nobody about Jesus and his love. Remember, what about that time? Right? Like we rebel against the voice of God inside of us. We rebel against it. And that's what Pharaoh did. Pharaoh rebelled. He said, I want it my way. Anybody ever? I want it my way. I know what's best. Because that's Pharaoh. Pharaoh knew what was best. Pharaoh knew his own understanding was better than anyone else's understanding. Pharaoh knew who he was, and Pharaoh said, I'm me. I could care less about your God in the little burning bush. First of all, it's a bush. He couldn't come in a big tree. There you have it. That's your, like that's Pharaoh, this arrogance. Pharaoh is arrogant. Sometimes we walk in a little bit of arrogance. Pharaoh represents bondage. Sometimes we're in bondage. We're in bondage to so many different things. We're in bondage to other people's opinions of us. We're in bondage to sometimes we're in bondage to just our financial situations. Sometimes we're in bondage to ants coming in our houses. Just intercede. I hate them. But sometimes we're in bondage, and Pharaoh represents bondage. Fear. Pharaoh represents fear. I'm afraid of stepping out. I'm afraid of going forward. I'm afraid because I don't understand. I'm afraid. So Pharaoh represents fear. Helplessness. Anybody ever felt helpless? Helplessness. Lack. Defiance. Pride. Who? Pride. Pharaoh can even represent this idea of get back to work. And this was interesting because as I was reading, when Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh for the first time and said, let my people go and all that good stuff, it was like Pharaoh kind of laughed at him. Pharaoh's like, ha, 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 you tripping dog. You crazy. Moses, you crazy. Come on, man. And he said, let the people get back to work. Let the people get back to work. And this kind of struck me because sometimes see Pharaoh represents this idea of let me just figure this out on my own. Just let me, and I'm not saying there's not a place for us to, we have to go out and we have to work. But what I'm saying is when that work comes before our relationship with God, when that work becomes the thing that defines us, when that work becomes the thing that, you know what, I have to work so I can't have this relationship with the Lord. Like, that's what Pharaoh represents. Get back to work. I don't have no time for God. Get back to work. I don't have no time to pray. Get back to work. I don't have no time to read my word. Get back to work. I don't have no time for fellowship. Get back to work. And I'm just reading you this out of a place where how God has been speaking this to me because he's identifying the Pharaoh in us. Pharaoh represents, I got this. And as a man, this is kind of my default button when my feelings get hurt. I got this, but leave me alone. I'm a man. I am a man. Okay. I got this. And usually it's my wife that can see that I don't have this, right? I don't have this, but no, I got this. I got this. Anything that takes God's place. Can I tell you this? Things that try to define us outside of God. Pharaoh. Abuse. Pharaoh. All of these things. All of these things are a bridge back to the Pharaoh that Moses went head up with. But he didn't go head up with this Pharaoh all by himself. He went head up with this Pharaoh that with the backing of a God who says, I am with you and I am for you. So as we go on this journey of facing Pharaoh, I want you to take a few notes. And if you do take notes, I want you to write this first word down, past. All of us have a past, yeah? All of us have a past. And this is where this thing begins. It begins because Moses has to go back to face his past. Moses has to go back to face what he was running from for 80 years. Moses has to go back to that. See, that's crazy. God calls him to go back to what he was running from. When God calls you to go back to something that you're afraid of, that you're running from, it means God wants to bring some healing. It means God wants to restore something that may have been lost. So it starts with Moses, and he goes back, and he's going back into his past. And I want you to write this down if you take notes. Your past does not define you. Your past does not define you. But now what your past is a part of your story. See, here's what's dope about your story, is your story doesn't look like my story. But your story is a tool that God has given you to use for his glory. It's your story for his glory. See, our past is, and I mean, there's some things in my past. I'm like, Lord, just let me forget that. But our past is, it's not this weight that we carry, family. It's not a weight that we carry. Our past in the presence of God now becomes a witness to how good our God is. That's our past. That's what our past now becomes. It now becomes the window through which people look at our lives and say, dang, you went through that. You did that. You used to be like that. Yes. One thing that's funny is, and I've told my students this, is I may have told you guys before, but back in the day, I used to cuss a whole lot. Daddy, I know you right here, but you didn't know all that. You know what I'm saying? Confession time. But I used to cuss, and I was, and you might know somebody like this. I was the happy cusser, the sad cusser, the joyful cusser. Like if there was a situation for profanity, I found it. That's just how I was. That's not permission for y'all to be cussing. I will whoop you. No, I'm just, my sons right there. Not y'all's kids. Those, my two sons, but that's how I was. And one day a friend of mine, he posted a video. Old friend that I hung out with back in the day. He posted a video on Facebook. And yeah, the gasp. He posted a video on Facebook, and it was a celebration. It was a celebration. We had just won some awards. It was awesome. And it's video of me. And the things that were coming out of my mouth on this video, I was just like, who is that? There's no Pharaoh in me, Jesus only. Because I'm looking at this video and I'm like, and my wife, she's like, baby, have you seen this? I'm like, yes, I saw it. And his name's Ralph. I was like, look, man, I'm a pastor now. And and the Lord is good. And I'm going to need you to take that down, right? Because it was crazy. And I looked at that video and I was like, man, that's how I was. That's who I used to be. I didn't even recognize. And it's funny because I tell that to people and people are like, no, you ain't never. No. And I'm like, yes.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with them seeing that because it doesn't mean that that is who I am. It means look how far God has brought me. Look what God has done. Amen. Like I just didn't pop out praising God. That's not the reality. But the reality is our God is authentic and he met me in a real place and he began to change me from the inside out. And my past is no longer a weight that I'm embarrassed of, but now it's a witness that says, if you see who I used to be, you will see how good my God is now. Hey! Hey, it's not about us right now. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about us seeing him clearly. It's about us seeing through the grease that is struggle, the pain, the heart. It's about us seeing through all that and seeing our God and seeing that we can depend on him through anything. Our God. Our God. So your past is no longer a weight, but it's a witness. And here's what's crazy. I'm going to tangent just for 2 seconds. Here's what's crazy. In the book of Acts, the Bible says that you will be empowered to witness. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, you will be empowered to witness. The witness is your story. See, you will be empowered to tell your story for God's glory. Sometimes we overcomplicate what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us. See, the Holy Spirit wants to do some real things. And one of the things that says that you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit is, you know, speaking in tongues, all that good stuff. But also something that says that you're filled with the Holy Spirit is fruit. Because there's fruit of the Spirit. So when you start to see fruit in someone's life, you're filled with the Spirit. Fruit is change. It's the change that God brings in and through our lives. And if you look back at your past, you'll see how good God has been. Even in the hardship of your current situation, you look and you see and you say, "Ooh, my God is so good." So past, it doesn't define you. It doesn't define you. It's not a weight. It's a witness. Write this word down, hard. Hard. Anybody been living for a little while, you understand life is hard, right? It has moments of hard. It has moments of hard. And if you know Moses' story, Moses had moments of hard. God says, "Hey, Moses, we about to do this. I got you. I've heard the cries of the people. Go and help them." "What? You crazy? Huh? You want me? Do you know?" And Moses' response is, I can't talk right. because it said that Moses had like a speech impediment. So he didn't have confidence to speak. And so he immediately disqualified himself from what God was calling him to do. And he had to go into this hard place where he's going into his past. He's facing people from his past. Moses grew up in the palace. Moses grew up with Pharaoh. Like Moses grew up here and he grew up there and he's running from it. And now he has to go back to it. There's hard there. Hardship. Hardship is the things that we go through. We can't control it. We just go through hardship. Like life is hard. And can I just tell you this? When God's kingdom clashes with God's enemies, there is going to be hardship. When his kingdom, see what's happening is this. You and I, we get saved. The kingdom of heaven clashes with the kingdom of darkness. Boom. Hardship. Hardship. Jesus comes onto the earth. He raises up his disciples, but then he has to go to a cross. The enemy comes against him, tries to stop him from dying on the cross. Hardship. We go through hardship. It's just the reality of our relationship with Christ. It's a reality. See, here, no one's exempt from hardship. We all go through it. But the difference is we have a God who is with us in the midst of the hardship. So if you are in a place of hardship, don't let the hardship give you a hard heart. Don't let the hardship give you a hard heart. And here's what a hard heart looks like. I'm not listening to the Lord no more. Hard hearts. I've been praying forever for this and it hasn't happened. I'm done. Hard heart. I guess I'll go to church. I'm supposed to. I guess it's my Christian duty. Hard heart. I'm not going to forgive. Hard heart. Pharaoh had a hard heart. Pharaoh had a hard heart. Pharaoh could have saved himself so much pain and heartache, but he had a hard heart. See, in the midst of hardship, don't allow your heart to become hard. The next word I want you to write down is ability. See, as we go and we face Pharaoh, we have to trust in God's ability in us. Amen. We have to believe in God's ability. And that's what God is trying to get into Moses in this first part. God is trying to get into Moses this idea that, okay, Moses, you don't feel qualified. Okay, Moses, you don't have the degree. Okay, Moses, you don't have the money. Okay, Moses, you can't talk. You don't have it. You don't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. I get it, Moses, but do you understand that you got me? That's the difference. That's the difference. And Moses says, well, who's with me? Who's sending me? And he says, I am with you. I'm with you. As we grow in our relationship with Christ, what we have to know and learn, family, is that it's not based on our ability that things happen, but we have a Spirit of God inside of us that changes us from the inside out so we can rest and believe that His ability is greater than our own. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 3:5-6, it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek Him. Seek Him. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. His ability. His ability. 1 John 4:4 says, but you belong to God. Somebody say, I belong to God. I belong to God, but you belong to God. My dear children, you have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Dude, this is how real our God is. This is how real our God is. He knew we would go through hardship and those hardships would have the potential to give us a hard heart. So He gave us the living Spirit inside of Him. And He says, me and you is greater than your greatest weakness. Hey, come on. Somebody, you need to hear that. Christ in you is greater than your opinion of yourself. Christ in you is greater than the mistake you made. Christ in you is greater. That's what He's trying to get into Moses. That's what He's trying to, like, okay, Moses, you can't talk. I got you. Okay, Moses, look. Hold the stick. No, just hold the stick. Okay, put the stick out. Okay, now, let me think. What I'm gonna turn it into a dolphin. No, that's weird. A snake. Pick up the, okay, now it's a snake. Snake. Moses freak out because the stick is now a snake. And then he said, pick up the snake. He picks up the snake from the tail. You know you don't pick up no snake from the tail. Why? Because it has the ability to bite you. You pick the snake up from the tail, it will wrench around. Yes, I said wrench. It will wrench around and bite you. Like God has us do things that don't line up with our understanding. But what does it do? It gets us from relying on ourselves and trusting in Him. One of my biggest challenges is, how do I lead my family spiritually? How do I lead my family spiritually? And if I'm honest, I have moments where I just don't know how. And I feel like sometimes what I do is not enough. I'm leaning on my own understanding. I'm leaning on my own abilities, and I'm like, Lord, did that even work? Lord, did the prayer even work? And I'm insecure, and I'm like, oh, I can't. But it's His ability. It's what He does. I just gotta go. I just gotta pray for my family. I just got to pray for my marriage. I just got to go and do and let His ability. See, here's what's awesome. God will go before you, but He will not go for you. He'll go before you. He'll make a way where there is no way. But you got to go. You got to go face it. You gotta go. This is what an authentic God does. An authentic God gets His hands dirty. An authentic God gets down with us in the dirt and says, I'm gonna mold something out of this. That's what a real God does. He meets us right there so that we could rely on His ability to change our reality. Right? Reality. Reality. And I wrote here, this reality versus the one we are going back to. See, here's what's crazy. Like Moses is on the mountain with God. And have you ever had a moment with God where it's just like, oh my goodness, this is, you come, maybe it's a worship song or maybe something happened and you're just like, oh man, let's go. I'm ready. Oh yeah, let's do this. You have a moment with God and then you go back to your life. And it's like, what happened? Like, God, what happened? See, this happens all the time at camp. At camp, kids are inundated with Jesus. We're just like, Jesus, 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 you're going to get all this Jesus. That's what happens. They don't have phones. They don't have social media. They get Jesus. And they get and they feel this, woo, yeah, I'm ready, let's go. And then they come down the hill and the air is like cleaner up there. Then they come back down and it's like, my friends are still crazy. I'm still tempted by this. I still got this. I still got this. I still got this. See, what He does is He changes what He's doing with Moses on the mountaintop and what He does with students on the mountaintop and what He does with us when we have mountaintop experiences here at home is He changes our reality and He shows us that His reality is able to invade any reality that we walk in. His reality, He changes it. His reality is the miraculous. His reality is healing. His reality is power. His reality is unconditional love. His reality is faithfulness. His reality is long suffering. His reality versus our reality. His reality changes everything. Everything. His reality changes it all. His reality changes your story. His reality changes it all. His reality changes Moses. His reality gives you confidence that you didn't have before. His reality has you doing stuff that you wouldn't even do on your own. It's His reality. A pastor that I absolutely love wrote this in Pastor Craig Rochelle. He said, we aren't changed by the promises we make to God. We're changed by the promises God makes to us. Right? Oh, I have made some promises to God and I have broken them. See, we're not changed by the promises we make to God. God, I won't do it this time. I won't do it anymore. Okay, God. Woo, that was the last time. I'm strong now. We got this. Let's go. Come on. Woo. Or, God, I promise the next time I talk to him, you show me another person.
Show me another person. I'm going to talk to him there. Lord, show me a different person. Show me that person look weird. Show me another person that's not so weird, God, that seems like they could talk back to me, like they seem nice. Don't show me no scary person, God. Show me someone, right? We make promises to God and we're not changed by the promises we make. We're changed by the promises he made. That's why the word is so important. That's why we need the word of God, because his word in us it produces change in us and through us. Not my promise to show up to church every week. It's his promise in me that brings the change. 1 Peter 1:3 says, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. Ain't nothing like getting an invitation. And are the promises, we have promises that have been given to us, and those promises invite us to intimately know our God. That's what the promises are for. Intimacy. To know him personally. The best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. His reality changes the reality we walk in. Amen. Write this word, authentic. Hashtag authenticity. And when Moses asks God, he says, who do I say sent me? Who do I say sent me? And he says, I am. Now, that probably doesn't help much. But he says, I am. And what that means in that time is what God is saying to Moses is, I am becoming and I will become. See, this is the authenticity of God. I am becoming and I will become. I am becoming what you need me to be right now, Moses. Right now, you need me to be confidence for you. Right now, you need me to know, you need me to be the help that you need. Right now, you need me to be the mouthpiece for you. Right now, you need me to be your inspiration. I am what you need me to be right now. But understand this, I am authentic to this moment. So where you are scared and fearful, I will be the one that gives you strength. Where you feel weak, I will be the one that gives you freedom. Like, this is what God is saying. He's like, wherever you are right now, I honor where you are, and I am becoming what you need me to be in this moment, but I am also becoming what you need me to be in the future. So I am becoming and I will become. That's the confidence we have in God, is that he is becoming what we need now. And he will become what we need. So as Moses is on the mountaintop, I just need confidence. I just need to be inspired. I need to know, because I feel unqualified. I feel disqualified. So I need, this is how I feel. God meets him where he's at and says, I'm going to be with you. I am for you. I got this. I got this. And then he says, when you get to Pharaoh, here's what to do. I am becoming what you need when you stand before Pharaoh. I'm already there. I'm already there. I have your back. I have your front. I have your sides. I have your past. I have your future. I am your God. And I meet you where you are. I meet you. And this is the thing. This is the big thing that I wanted to just really just drill in, is our God is real, family. And he meets us in real places. Those real hard places. He meets us right there. He is a very present help in the time of need. You are not alone. Okay, you know what? Sorry. I am not alone. I'm not alone.
I'm not alone, even though I feel like it. And I love the Lord because he's real. He meets me in that lonely place. And for those of you that don't know, I am the product of a house fire. I'm the product of a fire. When I was young, my house burned down. I was pursuing an acting career, and I was in it. I was like, let's do this. Come on, somebody. I was in Pasadena. I was doing a show. I was living with my older sister at the time. And if I'm honest, I was feeling myself. I was feeling myself. Because I had a small role in Romeo and Juliet, and I had just gotten a write-up about myself. The critics, they wrote about me. I had like 5 lines, and they wrote about me. And I was like, oh. They said I was funny, and I was like, oh, okay, let's go. Let's go. Things were going good. Like I was getting meetings with different people, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm on the couch in my sister's living room, and she busts in the house and she says, "Brother, the house burned down." And I was like, "What the heck?" And I panicked, and I remember just jumping into my car. And on the 210 freeway driving, it's like midnight, 1 a.m, it's late. And I'm just crying because I'm scared. I was genuinely afraid that my mom died. And I just remember praying a prayer to God. I was like, Lord, I'm scared. And I just ask if you could just please let my mom be okay. And I made a promise to God, but we're not changed by the promises we make to God, right? And I made a promise to him, and I said, I promise I'll just serve you. I promise I'll give you my life. I just let my mom be okay. Just let my mom be okay. It's my mom. I'm like, please. And she lived in Upland at the time. And I get to the house, fire department's there, my best friend's there. And she's miraculously saved because what happens is this, my little sister was in LA. She was out hanging out with some of her friends doing stuff. And she was going to stay out there with her friends. But she said, brother, she said, something told me to come home. Something just told me to come home. And so she ends up coming home, and this is her telling me all of this afterwards. And she comes home, and my mom's upstairs asleep, and my little sister comes downstairs. And she walks by the door, and the garage door, she just sees like red underneath the door. It's just like red. She gets close to the door, and heat is coming off the door because the garage had been completely engulfed in flames. Heat's coming off the door. And she yells. She's like, I was yelling up to mom, yelling up to mom, yelling up to mom, yelling up to mom. And my mom is knocked out. And when my mom sleep, she woo. Mama be knocked out. I'm going to keep it real. You hear like, mama, right? And then like, ain't no yell going to wake her up. And so my sister's yelling, mama, mama, mama. She has to go upstairs, shake my mom, wake my mom up. My mom comes downstairs and she goes to the door, opens the door, fire immediately comes into the whole house, wraps around the ceiling. And my mom is so funny. I have moments when I think of my mom as black superhero mom. Like I'm sure some of you, you know, white moms and Hispanic moms are superheroes as well. But my mom is black, so it's black superhero mom. But what she does is, my sister told me, she's like, brother, mommy went to the sink, got a cup, ran back to the garage, and tried to throw a cup of water onto the, like that, like what in the... Like, what kind of fire you gonna put out with the, get out the house. But she didn't want to, she wouldn't, she, like my mom, my sister literally had to like pull her out of the house. She's trying to grab stuff, trying to save stuff. I get there. She's already at the hospital. I rush to the hospital, San Antonio Hospital, put my, and I'm just, I'm scared. I don't know what's going on. And the doctor just says, my mom's fine. Little smoke inhalation. My sister's fine. Little smoke inhalation. She doesn't even have a burn on her hand from where she like open the door of the garage to the garage coming into the house, not a burn on her hand. And here's what's even crazier, family, and I'll wrap with this. The thing that's even crazier is this. The fire department said that the fire was caught by the car. My mom had an old car and it caught on fire in the garage. And here's what's bananas. The fire department said if there was a little bit more gas in the tank, the whole thing probably would have blown up. This is the report that they gave my mom. And my mom reads that. And then my mom, she tells me, she's like, it's crazy because I was going to go get gas because I knew I needed to get gas that night. But I decided not to because I was just too tired and I just wanted to get home. I'm a product of a house fire. I don't want nobody's fire house to burn down. But this thing that happened here is the reason why I'm standing here today. Like this thing that happened here, like this miracle. This, like God invaded my reality. And he changed everything. He changed my reality. And he showed me that he meets me right where he is. He shows me that he's real. He shows me that he loves me right where I am. And can I tell you, I was in no position to be this. I wasn't this pristine Christian boy. I was in the world of acting. And I was in the world of acting. And I was in the world of acting. And I thank God that he met me in that place and said, son, I still have a plan for your life. And you know what? When I felt disqualified from the things that I have done, he told me this last word. And there's one more word I want you to write down. And it's H-I-S, his. I'm his. Broken. His. Scared, I'm his. Rejected, I'm his. Failure, I'm his. Hardship, I'm his. Disappointment, I'm his. Discouragement, I'm his. Fear, I'm his. I'm his! It doesn't matter who accepts me or rejects me, because I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords died for me that he may call me his. That's an authentic God. That's a God that's real. That's a God who meets us right where we are and doesn't say, get your life together and then I'll be in relationship with you. No, he says, I will meet you right where you are, but I love you so much I won't keep you there. So if you wrote down everything you have, past, hard, ability, reality, authentic, ordered, his, and all that gives you this word, Pharaoh. See, you can face your past. And though it may be hard, you can face those things and with God's presence, don't allow your hardship to give you a hard heart. And then you rely on his ability to change your reality because he'll meet you in a real authentic place. And you must know and understand that your steps are ordered. Can I just tell somebody where you are right now? Your steps are ordered. Like that fire, my steps are ordered. That's just another example of how God works all things for the good. Amen. All things for the good. Not just the good things for the good, but the things that you wish never happened to you tells you that your steps are ordered and you are his. This is how we face Pharaoh. Do you see the shift? We only spend a little bit of time disqualifying ourselves. And then we rely on his ability to change the reality that I can be authentic and I can be real, knowing that God has ordered my steps. And no matter what, I'm his. Pharaoh. You don't face him alone. You face him empowered by the power and the light of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you don't walk away with anything else tonight, today, just hold on to this. You're His. You're His. You are His. It's like, amen. Amen. It's like my kids. Oh, they get on my nerves sometimes. They do. They do, man. But I look at those four children, and there is nothing I won't do for them. And I know you feel the same about your kids. No matter what they put you through, no matter how crazy they are, they're mine. And I'm so happy that no matter what I put God through, no matter how many times I've let Him down, no matter how many times I said, I don't want to face Pharaoh right now. I don't feel like it. He doesn't look at me and say, all right, get out. He continues to say, I am His and He is mine. Amen. Can I pray for you real quick? Is that cool? I just want to take 1 second and pray for you guys. Family, hallelujah. We all got to face Pharaoh. The awesome thing is that's a reality we don't have to go through and face on our own. So I want to pray for you guys. And I just want to pray for a few of you. Because I just feel like it's been a season lately where it's been challenges. I just feel like it's been a season where discouragement has easily come into our lives. It's been a season.